This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
One of the strangest encounters that Jesus ever had with demons resulted in the demons asking to be cast into a herd of pigs. A few questions. Why pigs? Why did the herd of pigs plunge down into a lake to drown? Were they so desperate to get back to the underworld? Well, let's take a look at this very unusual but supernatural encounter. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. So the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs." "All right, go," Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. So why did they ask for pigs? Well, here are some varying schools of thought. Number one, pigs were unclean animals under Jewish law, so they were a perfect symbol and a harmless destination for unclean spirits. Number two, the fact that the demons pleaded to be sent into the pigs shows how much they hated roaming about in the world without any habitation. Demons want to possess a body. Talking about evil spirits is a strange thing to many of us today. However, when Jesus walked the earth, he cast out evil spirits. He rebuked them. He warned against them. And most importantly, he taught people about them. He taught people about their existence and their tactics. But today, many Christians will quite openly speak about angels, but ignore the reality of demons. Now, don't get me wrong. We are not to glorify demons, but equally, we are not to fear them. But the fact is that Jesus' ministry included teachings about demons and encounters with demon-possessed individuals. So we ought to at least be knowledgeable against the schemes of the kingdom of darkness. Now, Jesus gave us a very important teaching about unclean spirits in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. The Bible says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, He goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
So be with this wicked generation. Allow me to point out a few things here. We are houses, so to speak. The Bible says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" Now, a clean house is one that the Holy Spirit dwells in. A dirty house is one that has an unclean spirit, a demonic spirit. Now, the Bible in Matthew 12, verse 44 says, "I will return to my house from which I came." Notice how the unclean spirit takes ownership of the house in the body. The first thing it tells me is that unclean spirits have an intellect. They think, and they are thinking. If they dwell in a house, if they possess a person, they get attached to the place. Notice the language used in Matthew 12, verse 44. "I will return to my house." Now let's focus on this concept of a unclean spirit returning to the same house. Have you ever noticed someone who is bound by something can be free for some time and then fall back into that very same bondage? They will be set free and delivered from a problem, an addiction, or some type of stronghold until the demon comes back to check on what it considers its house. This is why we have to be extremely diligent about our relationship with the Lord, because once you have been delivered, your house still needs to be occupied. And if that house doesn't have the fire of the Holy Spirit in it, if that house doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit in it, then it's a house that's exposed. It's a house that Jesus described as empty, swept, and put in order. But this means that the unclean spirit will go and take with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And the thing you will find is that when it comes to demons, that word can conjure vastly different emotions. Revulsion and fear in some, laughter and entertainment in others. For many, there may be curiosity. For a few, perhaps even adoration. One thing is for sure, even as culture grows increasingly skeptical, The unseen realm possesses a firm grip on the minds of many. For decades, demon possession and exorcism have been a successful trope in the entertainment industry. In 1973, The Exorcist shocked audiences, became a blockbuster hit, and launched a new genre of film. Over 50 years later, dozens upon dozens of possession and exorcism films have been produced. Many of these films have merely used shock tactics and gory effects. Others have successfully marketed their dark films as based on a true story. The horror genre may be the most natural home for demon-themed works, but it isn't the only one. From spoof movies to comic strips, Satan, demons, and hell have often been used as comedic material. Undoubtedly, there's a variety of reasons, but demon-based entertainment seems to be going strong. Perhaps people feel demons are just another form of entertainment, one trope amid many in the world of fantasy and myth. Some strange fascination may hold others. The unseen tends to have that effect. A little truth, a lot of error, and active imaginations can lead to all sorts of ideas, fears, and musings. What is clear is many do not know or understand the truth about demons. The Bible sheds light on this dark subject, and the truth of Scripture paints a vastly different picture than modern culture. On one hand, demons are surely more sinister than Hollywood will ever be able to portray. On the other hand, followers of Jesus need not fear the Lord's defeated enemies. Throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts, we find multiple occasions when Jesus or his disciples encountered possessed individuals. Often, these demons are referred to as unclean spirits. The conditions, details, and impact of possessions, they vary. Some victims were grown adults, others were children. Sometimes a solitary spirit inhabited a person, other times multiple spirits did. Possession seemed to give inhuman strength. Mark 5, verse 4 says, "Of one man, he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him." Ephesians 19 recounts an event when seven non-Christian brothers attempted to cast out an evil spirit. The demon-possessed man leaped on them, beat them, and sent all of them running away, naked and wounded. The Bible demonstrates that demons tormented their hosts and made life miserable. Some unclean spirits caused their victims to be blind or mute. The legion-possessed man lived among tombs and was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. One poor father lamented to Jesus that an evil spirit would seize his only child, convulse him, and cause him to cry out and foam at the mouth. The father was sure that the demon was destroying his son. These descriptions are not the fanciful imaginings of Hollywood writers. They are truthful descriptions of possessed individuals during Jesus' earthly ministry. The prospect of demon possession would be terrifying indeed, and yet the follower of Jesus need not give into fear. The Bible does not record incidents of demon possessions to frighten us. These records do demonstrate the hatred and evil of the enemy, but more so, they highlight the power and victory of Jesus. In many New Testament accounts, the Bible declares that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirits. Jesus did not go toe-to-toe with an equal force. Jesus stood in the position of authority and power. Jesus didn't struggle with demons. He made demands that were obeyed immediately. Jesus wasn't afraid of evil spirits. He sparked fear in them. Even when Jesus confronted a man hosting an entire legion of demons, they fell down before Jesus and begged him not to torment them. This is a far cry from the demons portrayed in the movies. When demons face off with Jesus, they knew they were beaten before a battle could even begin. Jesus gave this same power and authority to his apostles. When Jesus sent out the 12 and later the 72, they were given authority over unclean spirits. When the 72 returned, they excitingly proclaimed, "Lord, even the demons are subjected to us in your name." Luke 10, verse 17. Jesus responded, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Jesus wasn't just defeating the enemy. He was protecting and empowering his followers against the enemy as well. The book of Acts tells of Peter and Paul casting out evil spirits in the same manner as Jesus had, with complete authority and assured victory. With such power and victory, followers of Jesus need not fear the enemy. It would be wise, however, for Christians to be circumspect in their actions. While we need not fear Satan and his legions, we should be wary of entertainment that focuses on and glorifies the enemy. To an unbelieving or superstitious world, demons might be fodder for intriguing entertainment. To the Lord's followers, they should be recognized for what they truly are: the enemy who hates us and hates our King. Beings who need not be feared, but beings whom we also don't want to unwittingly glorify or be entertained by. For all this, there was and is a more significant battle and a more excellent victory. In the end, Satan's goal isn't to possess and torment your physical body. His aim is your soul. His real desire is to separate you from God for eternity. But here too, Jesus has won the victory. Through his sacrificial death and victorious resurrection, Jesus has crushed the head of the serpent and defeated Satan and his armies. For those willing to follow Jesus, he doesn't just offer protection from possession, he has won deliverance from hell itself.